This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Uncharted territory for me. The one time I did get traded mid-season, you know, the Cowboys, they had a bye week that same week, so I kind of had a lot of time to prepare, to know the system and things of that nature. So this is definitely new for me. At the end of the day, it's just football, you know. I think I'm a pretty cerebral guy, at least cerebral enough to learn the playbook as fast as I can, so I can go out there and get lined up and just run routes, catch the ball, get open, you know, compete in the run game.
Love it. Amari Cooper in town with the Bills, number 18. That'll have to do. 803-0550 is our number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, if you want to discuss with us this trade by the Bills. I'm not saying it's unanimous, because it's never unanimous. But as I mentioned to Sal, it does seem like this is a very popular idea. You know, outside of our, you know, cocoon.
Yeah, I do. I mean, the money is a key element of that. Like, it was a big reason why I thought the Bills could manage to acquire this player, whereas I thought Devontae Adams was a pipe dream if Vegas wasn't going to keep some money. Like, they literally did not have room for Adams' contract that the Jets took on. So, you know, maybe you could have paid more than the Jets paid to get the Vegas to keep some of that money, but it seemed, if the reporting was accurate, that Vegas did not want to do that, which is ridiculous. Like, they play football in Las Vegas. It's got to be one of the wealthiest franchises in the league.
I don't know.
I just can't believe they're more worried about money than assets, but whatever. But, you know, the money part of it is, it doesn't make it have to work. You know, you can like it. Like, for me, I liked it as a facilitator for the deal. If the Bills could have afforded Devontae Adams, that would have been fine. I'm not that worried about the money for this year anyway. Like, I'd have been worried about anything in future years for either of these players at their age, and the Bills aren't committed to that. The Jets aren't really yet either. They've adjusted Adams' contract, but it still reads to me like they can walk, or he can walk, after the year. Like, they'll have that option anyway. He's under contract for the next 2 years, but the money is still preposterous. They stretched it out some here, so there'll be some penalty for them if they want to move on now and not be scot-free, but all the same, you know, the money isn't a factor in why it has to work. It's a factor in why they could pull it off. So, like, liking that part of it now almost feels a little, ancillary to me. Like, it's not really related to whether it's going to work or not. It played a part, I think, a big part in them making the deal. But from here on out, like, if he's making $5 million or $1 million, it doesn't really matter to me. I think he looks the part, and I'm optimistic about it working for them. You know, but you never know until you get on the field. He's got to find some chemistry with Allen and Allen with he, and carve out a role.
And really, I said this yesterday too, and it's, I guess it's obvious, but winning that game Monday versus losing it is such a difference. I think, you know, the way I look at it, the way I feel about it, it's just such a difference. Than, I mean, if they lose that game and are tied with the Jets at 3-3 in first place, and Devontae Adams goes to the Jets and he's going to play this week, not actually hurt, I'm all better. I mean, I'm tight. Like, mm-hmm. Tennessee is, you better get it. I mean, it's still kind of that. But even though the schedule seems to lighten up a little bit here, you're not even in the lead anymore. And when it comes to Amari Cooper, we're talking about, we haven't really talked about this much at all about Monday night, but it was somewhat more of the same with the Bills' passing offense. You know, it wasn't nine completions, but it's still like there was just really no reliable go-to.
Nothing in rhythm, nothing like bing, bing, like, you know, snap, steps, here's the ball. It was a lot of Allen running away from stuff and making plays, and like he can do that. But you can't live like that. That's what Baltimore was that. And that, I shouldn't say it was exactly that. I mean, the Coleman plays were on time in the Baltimore game. It's just that they're back shoulder, you know, jump balls for all intents and purposes. And that is not also neither how I'd want to live in my passing game. I need to see more sort of intermediate, middle of the field, like just a guy open. Allen gets the snap, 2.2 seconds, bam, it's, you know, 15 yards to an open guy. That, you know, and if you're going to play man, hopefully Cooper is a guy, he has shown to be this, even in the state he's supposedly in now with the drops and whatever's going on in Cleveland, he is still separating. So they need another guy. Shakir can do that when he's healthy, and I don't know how healthy, how close to healthy he is. I mean, he did play in the game Monday night, but not a lot, which is an indication to me that he's not, you know, all the way back. So I'm not assuming he's going to be 100% for this Tennessee game, but Cooper should change how they're defended and what Allen's options are. Did you see that there's a chart that was making the rounds today about, I think it's EPA on first read passes. Mm-hmm. And Allen, the number is good, but the frequency isn't. Like they have success when he targets his first read, but he's able to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Do it as infrequently as any quarterback in the league, which to me, that is absolutely
no one's open,
right?
Or
so
the first guy.
What is the first read is, I think, should be the thing that you're expecting to spring open. We've designed this play this way, and we think like this guy will be where you want to go with the ball if it's against, if, you know, if we're right about the coverage they're playing and all that sort of stuff that goes into it. And you know, when that's there for Allen, it's successful, but it's just not there a lot. And hopefully Cooper changes that. I mean, I would hope here, maybe not right away out of the box on Sunday, first game, that he's a primary read, a first read on a lot of plays. But I think you're going to want to get there pretty quick because he's a guy, he and Shakir can separate.
And that right there is an example of how different I would be looking at all this had they lost Monday. Like, the urgency is just not the same. The Jets, the level of urgency, now it's two more losses now. They have four losses. But the level of urgency there, like, that was, we cannot afford another loss. Like, we cannot afford this. We need Devontae Adams right now. Or as you would put it, RN.
Of course.
We've got to have Devontae Adams, RN. And maybe this way we can save our season. Everything's pushed in on this season. The Bills, who do not have that burden anyway, but winning that game does that to them. And if Amari Cooper needs time to acclimate, I mean, I got it. Mm-hmm. I've got time.
Right.
I'm a 9-point favorite here. Do I need him to do anything on Sunday? I mean, the Bills would be they were a 9-point favorite anyway.
Yeah.
Against Tennessee. So that should be likely a scenario anyway, the kind of game where you don't have to force anything when it comes to him or anyone else, I guess. Hopefully it just sort of comes to you. 25-16 is the implied. So it's just so different. I mean, if they're 3-3, if it's three straight losses and not on top of the table in the AFC East, we're kind of freaking out a little bit. And the margin is always so small because that game could have gone either way. But, you know, so could the Houston game.
Right. That's fair.
I think they're where they deserve to be at 4-2, are what your record says you are, all of that. Tennessee at Seattle. Miami here at Indianapolis. All right.
That doesn't seem that heavy.
Then the Chiefs and the Niners, and then it's different.
But yeah, right.
It's a little bit of smooth sailing here, perhaps. Luke is with us. Hi, Luke.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks, Luke.
Awesome. So I wanted to kind of bring up the trade for Amari Cooper here as it relates to the Stephon Diggs trade. I'm kind of looking at what we sent and got for Diggs. I think we sent Diggs and received a second and, you know, took on all of Diggs' dead cap. And then we got Cooper and sent a third. So I just think it's kind of like an interesting way to look at it, considering that, you know, they got rid of Diggs, said they wanted to do the everyone eats thing. That didn't really work out. So then they send a third, even though they had gotten back a second for Diggs, to get Cooper back, who's kind of like, you know, the same age guy type of, you know, receiver anyways. So I guess I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, like, did they just really not want Diggs there specifically, like a personality thing?
Absolutely. I don't know. I wouldn't want to put my name on that's 100% of the reason. You know, I think it's believable. He certainly did not produce like he had earlier in seasons at the end of the last two seasons. So they could have had performance related reasons, but the dead money to me is the dead giveaway. I think you would have lived through the way I was talking, and this, you know, I didn't have to be right about this, but I felt like they might be worried about him. They're going to talk him up if he's on their team as still being a number one. Bean did that before the trade, and if there isn't a personal conflict, if there isn't some reason that they want to go the addition by subtraction route, they wouldn't eat $31 million. It's it. Like, if everyone got along well enough and no one was fatigued to whatever degree by Diggs's personality, he would have still been on the team. Because there's no way you eat $31 million. I think you just would have gone, okay, well, he's still good. I hope we can get, you know, the first half of last year out of him again or something. I just don't think you'd eat that money if it weren't personal.
Yeah, I agree. All of it. There are conversations online like Diggs versus Cooper, and I just can't engage because the Bills clearly thought they had to get rid of Diggs or else, you know, he would still be here and everything you said. But they must have felt that. Nick Bakay, what don't we know?
Right.
Right? So I don't think it's a comparison that I can really – I don't feel like I need to have it, you know, that piece of it because – Diggs, they decided that had to end, and after that, okay, well, what if we spread the ball around? What if we played 12 personnel? What if we drafted Keon Coleman? What if we did D, E, and F? And now it's to Cooper. So I'm fine here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs, Sabres pregame in about 15 minutes. Buffalo at Pittsburgh tonight. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.